I'm going to mute everybody by default, and then, as always, unmute, please, to ask questions, to make comments, and so on. We have some people in the room here, some people here, and hopefully you can hear what people ask on the Zoom here or the comments that they make. This is the second in what I expect is a series of probably 3.5, if I had to guess, on Avodas Karka, working the land during Shemitah. As I wrote at the top of the source sheet, does everyone have the source sheet? I think I asked that already. Okay. As I wrote at the top of the source sheet, the following dedications from our day of giving are associated with this class. Dr. Eddie and Dr. Judith Pacus. For Sammy, that's Barry's parents. Benji and Dvorah Pister of Hamilton. And Neville and Lynn Richter. Okay. So what I want to do this morning is first spend a few minutes on a practical application regarding Zoreya, planting seeds. Last week, our focus was on first the Avos and Toldos, the question of why we have an Av Toldos structure at all regarding the work that you're not allowed to do on the land during Shemitah. And then we focused on Zoreya, the issue of planting seeds, and we had a nice discussion regarding whether liability comes with, and I'm not sure why I have this mask on this way, whether liability comes with the seeds taking root, or even without taking root during Shemitah. We made the analogy that the Menchas Chinuch did to the laws of Shabbos, where clearly you're liable on Shabbos for planting seeds, even though they're not taking root on Shabbos. One of the things that we did as part of that comparison, as part of the discussion, was to ask the question of whether planting seeds is like cooking and baking, where you're not actually making the transformation take place. You are simply enabling the circumstance in which the transformation will then take place. So when you cook, you put the food on the heating element or in the oven, and then the oven does the work. Similarly with planting, you put the seed on the ground, and then it's going to sprout and germinate and take root and all the things that we hope the seeds will do. But you didn't actually do the work. So the question is, can you look at planting seeds like cooking? That was indeed the Menchas Chinuch's point. And it leads to a question that I want to look at briefly here at the start of our discussion before we shift to talk about harvesting. And here's the question. What about planting during Shemitah with a machine that actually does the seeding for you? You just push the button. That's the opening question that I want to look at. You could make the argument that if when I'm planting seeds, I'm not actually transforming something, I am just enabling it. So I'm doing the same thing with this machine. Of course, it also enters into grama discussions. So if you look at your sheet, you see I brought you the Chazon Ish on this. And the Chazon Ish writes, "Hachareisho zareya b'shabbos b'mechonah mesukenes l'kach." If you use a machine that is designed for this, and the way it works is, "Va'adam locheitz l'chitza harishona," you press the button, "Va'yedeze motzikawa chom hagorem li'idim," and this is apparently steam operated, so it produces heat that causes moisture, that causes steam, "Shevov yaniu es hagalgal," and that will cause the wheel to turn, "utenuas hagalgal mamshechas yitziras ha'idim," and that then continues the creation of these vapors of the steam, v'chein chozer chalila, and so it goes in a cycle. Nira dechol hacharisha v'azriya chashiva gira dilayu ma'asav. He says, it doesn't matter that all you did was push a button. Fundamentally, you caused all of those things to happen. It is like you shot an arrow, and he compares it to the Nimuke Yosef regarding Nezikin, the laws of damages, where you light a fire, and the fire leaves your property and consumes somebody else's field. All of that is the result of your initial action. So that's his first point, is to say that this is considered a normal act of planting, just like you throw the seed on the ground. So you did an initial act, and then everything else is the result of your action. So too, we're going to say here. And then he adds, and the truth is you can make the argument that you don't even need the association with planting being an act of just enabling it. Even if I believe that planting is where you actually, you know, make the germination, make the sprouting happen. Nonetheless, fundamentally, it's all caused by your initial action. And then he says, on the third line in Source Aleph, Vimesiris Hamoneya, what if, instead of pushing a button, the machine normally would function, but something is obstructing it from functioning, and you remove the obstacle, right? This is like the Grama devices that we are familiar with out of Tzomet, right? You have a phone that is constantly trying to dial a certain number. However, something within the system is designed to prevent that, and you pull out the obstacle, and then whenever it tries again, it's not constantly trying, but whenever it tries again, it's now going to succeed. So that's what he's talking about here. If all you're doing is removing whatever obstacle was preventing the plow from running or seeding, Efshar Didavka Koach Rishon Hu Ma'asav, Efshar Degam Koach Sheni Chashiv Ma'asav, he says, then it's less clear. Then you can make the argument that you're not actually considered to be doing the action. It might be viewed as koach sheni, and he compares it to plowing with an ox. He says, "V'od di'ikar harisha uzriya nasal yedei shor." Now he comes back to the point that I made in the beginning. He says, after all, when you plow or when you plant, it happens via an ox. I should say, because I didn't say it yet, but this is probably a good time to mention it. The way that they plowed was that they combined often the plowing and the seeding. This wasn't necessarily the first run. In other words, first you plowed and you broke everything up and so on, but then you ran the plow down the field, and you had seeds that were sitting on the plow, and as the animal goes and pulls the plow, the seeds fall off into the ground. Right? This is one explanation for the phrase malo ma'ana. You had all these seeds that were on the plow, and they fall off one by one. So he says, really, your plowing and your seeding are happening via the ox. Ve'en ha'adam rak hanoetzes yisada macharesha u'machziko. He says, all you do is attach the plow, you stick the peg in, such that now it is joined to the yoke and to the animal, and then you guide the animal as it goes down the row. That's all you're really doing. So he says the argument that he makes is the same thing should be true then when you use the machine. You engaged in some action that is analogous to what you do with the ox. That's the argument. V'macharisha machases hazraim chayiv mishum zoreya. And if by plowing you cover seeds that are there on the ground, that's its own discussion. Do you have to cover the seeds or not? Then he says, even if the ox is the one doing the work, nonetheless, this is the way plowing is done. Dekev and dedarko bekach zeu ikra malacha. That's the way plowing is done. You've done the malacha. So the Chazon Ish's argument is really a twofold argument, and I should clarify that. Number one, he says, it's like nezek. It's like causing damage with a fire. You lit the fire. It spread. It's your responsibility from that initial action. Number two, he says, this is a normal act of plowing. Just like normally the ox does it, and yet you're liable. So too, yeah, the machine does it, but you're liable because of your initial action that set things in motion. Those are the two points that the Chazon Ish is trying to make. Is that clear?
So comparing this to Shabbos,
yes,
and having a Shabbos clock. So what if you set up everything, automated it, set it up, you know, computerized, whatever, before the Shemitah year?
So what if you actually set this up pre-Shemitah? I should note that when you deal with Malachos of Shabbos, you also have the concern for Maris Ayin with things that are going on Shabbos, unless everybody knows that they're done that way.
Yeah, so, like the dishwasher, yeah.
The dishwasher, the sprinkler, you know, and so on. So you would definitely need, in order to actually approve this preset plow, you would definitely need a certain presence of the technology in society in order to avoid that kind of appearances issue. But it's an interesting question. I think it's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know how exactly you would program it, but the truth of the matter is, your question is going to fit with a question that I have regarding Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in a moment. So hang on to the thought. The Chazon Ish doesn't like it. He doesn't like having the machine plant, and the central part that relates to what we said last week is his second point, that this is the normal act of planting. This is your role. Your role is that you're peripherally involved, and yet it counts as planting. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank disagreed. And he says, I think it could actually be permitted. Take a look at source base, in which he quotes you the Ramban. He says the Ramban that he's quoting is on Sefer HaMitzvot Shoresh Yudalid. So in the Ramban's comment to the Sefer HaMitzvot, he says Lo Mashma Kedivrei HaChazon Ish. He doesn't sound like the Chazon Ish. Dezel Lashon HaRamban Sham. Because here's what the Ramban wrote: Sheilu Bechoresh BeVehemto Meleches Atzmohi UBehema Imo Kikli Biyad HaUman. When you plow with your animal, it's you doing the work. The animal is like your kli, right? He says the animal is just your tool. He says it's like your saw, it's like your axe. He says, after all, you're liable in all of these cases. If you plow with your animal, you're liable on Shabbos. And the rule is that you have to be active in order to be liable on Shabbos. There's an analogy made to Avodah Zarah, where you actually do something physically, and therefore you're liable. So he says, that's the Ramban that he quotes. He says, Harei da haramban mochiach, temid mechayvinon al hacharisha al yed shal yedei shor, gam biyomto v'shviyas akarchach tachashiva malacha sha'adam atzmo osa begufo. He says, when you plow with an ox, you're liable, because of the act that you are performing. You are doing a physical act. Usvira leila haramban, dini'itzas hayaseid v'achzakas hamachresha ma'ase alimtehi. Ramban believes that this is a great act when you actually attach the plow, when you guide the plow. That's a strong act, a powerful act. V'lachein einu tzarech krala zelechayvo. And therefore I don't need this pasuk. The pasuk is a separate discussion in the part that I ellipsized there. But he says you're going to be liable. Umitoch divrei Ramban nira lahedya dima adam eino osek klum beguf hamalacha lo shayach lechayvo. But he says the corollary of what Ramban is saying. Ramban says you're liable for plowing because you're doing a real substantive physical act by attaching the plow and guiding it. So he says, what if I don't do that? If a person does not do any such thing, lo shayach lechayvo. Then he's not liable. Mishum de dumi davar zara ba'in and she ose begufo. Umashekach hudera hacharisha lo mahani klum. He says you have to do something physical with your body. If you take that out of the picture, you're not liable. He makes that analogy to Avodah Zarah, where it has to be that you do something with your body. And he says, I don't care if this is the normal act of planting. It doesn't matter. That's the argument that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank brings for our case. He says it doesn't matter that it's the normal way to plow, and certainly regarding Zoreya, if the animal is just covering and dropping and covering seeds, that's all there is to it. So Tzvi Pesach Frank thinks that you could be permitted with the machine. He says you're not doing anything the way that you are if you plow with an animal. You're just pushing a button. You're not involved physically with the act of plowing. Rav Sammy. Right. It's really the difference between pushing a button versus attaching the actual plow and guiding it. You're going to see that more clearly in a moment.
Because you're moving the horse or the ox, that's the point?
Well, it's not so much that you're moving it, it's that you actually held the plow. You did something with it. Pushing a button, he says, doesn't have the same valence. It just isn't as strong. Wait until you see Source Dalid, because he's going to say that explicitly. Yeah.
What about on
Shabbos? One second, Jeffrey. Hang on, we have a question in the room also. So Natanel asks, could we differentiate between plowing that's done in a small field and in a large field, to say that in a large field, the Chazon Ish is right, that the normal way to do it is with the machine doing it. However, in your smaller field, you don't normally have this kind of mechanized approach. Maybe that is no longer the normal way. I'm not so sure, because I don't know that I would differentiate in terms of setting and call these two different types of plowing. I'm not so sure he would go for that. Jeffrey, you were going to ask?
Yeah, so on Shabbos, comparing it to Shabbos, so if I press the button, of course on Shabbos you've got the additional thing of electricity, but according to the basis fee Frank, I press the button, I'm over electricity, but as far as plowing, am I over that?
So he would think not. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. So, Rav Rosen had an article in the second volume of Tchum, and I gave you a link there. Not a link, I gave you the title, I should say, but you can find it on the books.somet website, in which he talked about machines taking advantage of this Grumma idea. However, and Rav Rimon in the Shemitah Sefer, if you use the Hebrew Shemitah Sefer that we have here, it's page 82, footnote 19, quotes that and says, you know, they're taking advantage of it. Interestingly, difference between his Hebrew edition and his English edition. In the Hebrew edition, he just mentions it in the footnote, and then he notes the opposition we're about to see. In the English edition, he seems a lot more in favor of the leniency of using the machine than he does in the Hebrew, and it's in the body of the text. It's not in a footnote. I don't know why that is, but yeah, it's kind of funny. But in the footnote in the Hebrew edition, he also quotes you a follow-up article by Rav Zev Veitman in the seventh volume of Tchumen, and that's what I brought you here in Source Dalid. And Rav Veitman says, the Har Tzvi may distinguish between machines. He's not going to be okay with all machines. Take a look at Dalid. He says, Gam im natzliach lahagia lidei kach shehatraktor. Apparently now it's a traktor and it's not a machareisha anymore. We've made it into the modern era. Shatraktor yisavi yizrame atzmo kerechayim shalmayim velo kechitzei ha'adam. He says, even if we reach the point where the tractor is going to travel and plant on its own, like a mill operated by water, the classic Gemara case of setting up the malacha before Shabbos, and it's not a product of your action, it's not like your arrow that you shot. The person can't be involved in assisting the act of the tractor. If he's going to lead the tractor along, if he's guiding it, even Ritzi Pesach Frank is going to agree that now you are actively involved. You're actually doing something by guiding it. Memela gamim nomar shemachshir hagrama v'gaz hakavua hofchimas hatraktor lezareya me'atzmo. So even if you're going to say, well, it's grama and it's powered on its own, hareishan hagasov v'kivunom al yedei ha'adam yechashvu l'maseh b'yadayim. The person guiding it is going to make it his action. And he goes on to say, that's what appears from the discussion that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank has about an electric shaver. I'm skipping that discussion right now, but the point that he makes there, which is in bold in the original article, is that he is the one guiding it that makes it his action. So what that means, and I come back to Jeffrey's question, is what you would actually need is AI for your plow. That's what you would really need. You need machine vision so it can see where it's going, and you need it to be able to figure out, you know, how to do whatever the act is that's necessary in order to seed properly. It can determine the conditions, determine the quality of the soil, determine where the right depth is found, and based on that, know where to drop the seeds. The farmer can sit at home and relax, and then I think Rav Veitman would agree that Ritzi Pesach Frank's heter is going to work, because you're not guiding it, you're not doing anything. Clear? So that was just a short note that I thought was interesting, the mechanical cedar discussion. The focus that I wanted for today is really on kotzer, on harvesting. And this is a mega question with serious, serious ramifications for Shemitah. The question is, which kind of harvesting is prohibited? Two views. One view is, harvesting is prohibited if it is done normally. Meaning, you're not allowed to harvest in the normal way of harvesting. What constitutes the normal way of harvesting? We'll discuss that a little bit, much more in a separate shiur on the normal way of harvesting, because it really is its own topic. But we'll get to some definition of it. But that's one prohibition. And the problem, the one view, the problem in harvesting normally is that your produce is holy. It has Kedusha Shvius. So therefore, you have to treat it in a proper way. You have to make it hefker. Everyone needs access to it. And harvesting is going to eliminate that. So therefore, that's usur. That's one view. That's all that's usur about harvesting. However, there's a second view. And honestly, the second view was the one that I thought was right all along. I was very surprised when I realized that wasn't what everybody was thinking. The second view is that there is another prohibition against harvesting, which is you're not allowed to improve the land for future planting, even if it's not the normal means of harvesting at all. But harvesting, which is, I would say, harvesting, which is a way to enable you to plant in the future. You clear the ground by removing everything. That is also usur under kotzer. Take a look, please, at the Rambam, which I brought you in source Hay, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Kol she'totzi, this is from the beginning of the fourth parak in Shemitah v'Yovel. Kol she'totzi ha'aretz b'shana shvi'is. Everything the land produces in year 7, b'im nazera sh'nafal b'mikodem shvi'is, b'im na'ikarm sh'niktsu mikodem v'chazu v'asu, u'shneim nikru sfiach. He says, whatever the ground produces in Shemitah, whether because seeds fell there before Shemitah, or whether it's because stuff grew back during Shemitah, things that grow wildly on their own. There is no seed, by which I assume he means there's no seeding. Not that there's no seed. Hakol mutar la'ochlo mina Torah. Biblically, you're allowed to eat those things that grow wildly. Shnemar, the Torah says it. Vaisa shabasa aretz lachem li'ochla. It's for you to eat what you're eating, the stuff that grew. And even if the field was nitaiva, there's a little bit of a discussion as to what nitaiva means. Does that mean that it was fertilized? Does it mean that it was fertilized? And whatever, it doesn't matter for our discussion. We're not going there right now. The bottom line is, what grows is fine. Ah, but wait a minute, you have another pasuk, which we're going to come back to, which says, don't harvest that which grows. How are you going to eat it if you're not actually cutting it and bringing it into your house? Shelo yiktzor kiderech shekotzer b'chol shana. Don't harvest the way you harvest all year long. That's derech hakotzrim. Vim kitzer kiderech hakotzrim loka. And if you do it the normal way, malkos. Kigon, here you get a little bit of a definition. Shekitzer kola sada. You harvested the entire field, you made a big pile of stuff, you threshed it using cattle, or you did it for the sake of working the land, as we have explained. What you have to do is harvest bit by bit, little by little, and beat the stuff that you harvested and that you can eat. So how many different acts of harvesting are prohibited based on what we just read in the Rambam? Two, Rav Sami says. Number one is you're not allowed to harvest kederech hakotzrim. And then he says, shekitzer la'avodas ha'aretz, you harvested to work the land. Parallel passage regarding trees. If you take a look at source Vav, later on in that same perek, fruit produced by a tree in Shemitah, don't harvest it the way that you harvest every year. You're not allowed to harvest the grapes. And if you do it for the sake of the tree, I take the fruit off the tree because I don't want the tree expending its energy using up whatever nutrition it got on fruit that I'm not going to be able to sell in the market. So if you do that in order to take care of the tree, or you do it, derech habotzrim, you violated Shemitah. So that's really interesting. The view number two says there are two different prohibitions involved. The first one is the fruit is holy. However, the second one is clearly not about the fruit. Right? According to the second view, why am I not allowed to do this in terms of improving the land or improving the tree? What's the isser? Sorry?
Working the land.
Working the land. It's about the land itself. The land has Shemitah status. Even if the produce has no Kedusha. It's not about the produce. It's about the land. Why is this such a big deal? Well, it's such a big deal because of the Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira, of course, is going to be its own series of Shiurim. But basically, essential to the Heter Mechira, literally leniency of sale, is that we are selling our Jewish-owned land to a non-Jew during Shemitah, assuming you're allowed to sell him the land, assuming that selling the land removes the Kedusha of the land, and so on and so forth. Assuming he's not a Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, whatever. The selling him the land doesn't permit everything. It isn't like you sold him the land, now everybody's good. Selling him the land may mean, we hope it means, that the fruit that grows there doesn't have Kedusha Shvius, is not holy. But it does not remove the status of Shemitah from the land proper. This is still Shemitah land. That doesn't change. And so the issue is, if I take view number one, the only issue is treat the produce as having Kedusha Shvius, make it Hefker, I'm allowed to harvest on the non-Jew's property. He can hire me to work there. The produce doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. It's fine. I've done nothing wrong. We can bring that stuff to market. However, in the event that you take view number two and say you're also not allowed to work the land, because the land has Kedusha Shvius, and this is improving the land for future planting, then you have a problem. You can't plow there. You can't harvest there. Take a look at Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Sor Zion. Madanei Eretz. It's very funny. When I started preparing this shir, I wasn't even thinking about the Madanei Eretz at all. And I said, yeah, let me take a look. And then he became the whole shir, the Simon Beis and Simon Gimel. He took over. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach writes, Hamura mikol ha'amur hu, depera shviya shal akum shenichnesu l'shminis. He says, what emerges from everything he has said, which we're going to have to go through, but he says, what emerges from it is that Shemitah produce of a non-Jew, from his seventh year, shenichnesu l'shminis, which then enters into the eighth, she'in noeg az klal isra avodas ha'aretz, which then doesn't have any issue at all, because you're now in year eight. You're allowed to work the land in year eight. That, everybody's going to agree. You're allowed to harvest the produce in year 8 from his land, and that's fine. But Rosh Shlomo Zalman is of the belief of view number 1. There is no Isser of working the land. So he says, according to me, even his 7th year produce in year 7, whatever acts are biblically prohibited on the land are prohibited even in the non-Jew's field. A Jew would be allowed to pick them because I follow view number one, says Rosh Shlomo Zalman. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with harvesting the stuff that grows on his land. Flip the page. He says, or scroll down, whatever you like. And he says, I'm really afraid to stick my head into this very serious issue, by which he means not just this issue of harvesting, but the laws of Shemitah. He says, because of violation of Shemitah, he says, that's why we're stuck in this galus. So he says, Shemitah is so serious. How could I get involved and offer a leniency like this? But he says, "Ach, leman parnasasam shalaniya Yisrael uleman lamed zuchus al rivavos mi Yisrael shalo yiyu chas v'shalom kabaryanim." He says, for the sake of supporting aniya Yisrael and for the sake of justifying the deeds of myriads of Jews that they should not be considered sinners, matzasi chova benafshi lichtov es kol dvarei ela. I am obligated to say this. Because this has to be taken into consideration by serious poskim. Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes Madanei Eretz very early. He does it very early in his career. But he says, I'm going to stick to my guns on this because this is right. Yes, Rav Sammy.
I just want to clarify are we assuming selling the land to a non-Jew is not Makia, the Kedusha of the land?
Correct.
That's a discussion.
On a Deoraisa, in terms of the Deoraisa Malachos. Derabbanan Malachos is a separate story. But yes, that's a big discussion in Rav Kook, that's a big discussion in Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Yeah. We have to talk about it in Heter Mechira, for sure.
Okay.
All right. So,
just one thing.
Yeah.
Did we learn anything out from Kotzer from the things that grow wild?
What we learned there, and I'm going to, you know, give me one moment, because that's what's going to be in Source Ches and Tess. You'll see. It's a good segue. I just want to make sure to correct what I just said a moment ago, because I used Shigra Delishna. He doesn't say, I'm going to say this because it's right. He says, I'm going to say this because it's necessary. That's his justification. So the stakes are high in terms of taking view number one or view number two. View number one is a very popular view. And here I'm going to address your question, Jeffrey. It starts from a medrash, which is building, of course, on the psukim in Source Ches from Parshas Bahar. The psukim say, and we already have a hint of this because the Rambam basically said it, year 7 is Shemitah, Shabbat Lashem, Sad Chalos is Vavacham, Chalos is more. No seeding, no pruning. Ace Sefiach Kitzir Chalos Iktzor. V'es Inevein is Yireh Chalos Iktzor. Do not harvest. Not the stuff that grows in the ground, not the stuff that grows as grapes. Shnas Shabbason Yela Aretz, it will be a year of halting for the land. Vaisa Shabbas Aretz Lachem Le'ochla, it will be for you to eat. You, Eved, dot, dot, dot. So the Medrash in the Sifra asks, in Source Tess, a Sifiach Kitzirucha Lo Siktzor, you're not supposed to take anything. Mikan sam, you're not supposed to harvest anything. Mikan sam chuchacham al sfichim shu asurim b'shviyas. Based on that, the chachamim gave their derabanan of don't eat sfichim. Because it says don't harvest. What the Medrash is implying is that the pasuk says don't harvest. Don't harvest should mean don't eat. So much so that when the rabbi said no eating sfichim, it was based on that pasuk, even though obviously the pasuk isn't saying that. They said, nonetheless, don't do it. And in vain is yirech lo sivtzor. The Torah says, don't harvest the grapes. That's a restriction also on use. What does that mean? It means that if it's been guarded, don't harvest it. That's its own discussion as well. And lo sivtzor kederech habotzrim. Don't harvest in the manner of those who harvest. So what the Medrash is doing, it's implying it, you have to read it, you know, you have to read it cleverly, but what the Medrash is doing is it's pitting two psukim against each other. The Torah says, on the one hand, it's for you to eat, and on the other hand, it says, don't harvest it. How do I understand this restriction? What do I do? So number one, the Medrash says, it's teaching me, don't harvest from the shamur, from the stuff that's been guarded. And that's something that Ramban discusses further in Source Yud, but I'm going to skip it for time, but I brought it for you. He discusses that issue of not harvesting from that which has been guarded. And number two, don't do it kiderech habotzrim. Don't do it in the manner of those who harvest. Did it say anything at all here about avodas karka? About working the land just qua working the land? No. Nothing at all. They didn't say anything about working the land just as, about working the land. This is clearly view number one. There's nothing there to support view number two. And in fact, this is brought in Source Yud Aleph in the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Paraches Halacha Vav, Eis Sefiach Kitzirucha Lo Sik Tzor, Vezin Vein Yizirecha Lo Sik Tzor, Min Hashamur Ba'aretz Ein Atabotzer. You don't harvest from that which has been guarded. Avobotzer atamen amufker, you could only take from that which has been rendered hefker. And lo sivtzor kederech abotzrim, don't do as the harvesters normally do. The Yerushalmi is straight. And that's why you saw it in the Rambam that we brought earlier. That's view number one, and it's a very popular view. But there's a separate issue here, which is, go back to the Gemara that we saw last week in Moed Katan, which talked about not harvesting. Take a look at Source Yud Beis. Rava Omar, afilu tema rabbanan, avos asa rachmana, toldos lo asa rachmana. Rava said, the avos are prohibited by the Torah, toldos are not. As the pasuk says, Sadchal lo Sizra, Charmachal lo Sizmor, and they asked, well, Zemira is already in Zeria, Betzira is already in Ketzira, so it teaches me you're only chaya for these malachos, these avos, these toldos, and nothing else other than Choresh, which again is next week's shir, God willing. But the point is, he didn't say anything about Derech HaBotzrim, Derech HaKotzrim. He just said, don't harvest. He made no such distinction at all. And in fact, we saw the Rambam, who mentioned Kotzer la'avodas haaretz, in order to work the land. So, parenthetically, on this, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the Derech Emuna asks a question. He says, I'm confused, because the Gemara in Moed Katan that we just read included harvesting for avodas karka as prohibited, right? What pasuk did the Rava use? Right, he's using, I mean, explicitly in the part that we brought here, Vashnash v'is sarchalos izrach amachalos izmor. The part that's in the Vegomer, es fiach ketzir chalosik tzor in vain is yirech chalosiv tzor. Right. He used that as a basis for saying no harvesting at all. However, if you go back to the Yerushalmi, they use the same pasuk to say, don't harvest kederech habotzrim, the way that harvesters normally do. You use the same pasuk. How can you use the same pasuk for both ideas? The same pasuk is teaching you view number one and view number two. Take a look at the Derech Emunah in source Yigimel. V'inei b'moed katan mevordik tziru b'tziru hi avodah me'avodas karka. He says, in moed katan it's clear that kotzer, botzer is avodas karka. And lamdu mizeda avos es rachmana v'lo toldos. Avo b'yushalmi and the sifra amru lo sivtzor k'derech habotzim. They use the same pasuk to teach me, don't do it k'derech habotzim, the way that harvesters normally do. So he says, I don't get it. Tzarech iyun. Menalahu lechazal lichlo beis advar mepasuk zeh. Where did they get the idea that you could learn both out of the same pasuk? That's not supposed to happen. V'yesh lom, never mind that, sometimes it does. But he says, V'yesh lomar depashte dikra bimalacha koi. He says, the simple read of the pasuk is don't harvest. Flat. Not don't harvest as harvesters do. Amnam. Midichsiv, and I underlined it. Midichsiv nezircha. Kitzir cha, your stuff, don't harvest. Mashmanam ishlo tibzor betoras shelcha, that's what teaches us, don't harvest in a way that indicates that it is yours. Meaning derech habotzrim, derech hakotzrim. You can't make a big pile, you can't do it the way people normally do it, and he says, so wrote the Malbim, and so wrote the Ramban, and I brought you the Ramban so you could see it in Source Yadalid, with his emphasis on Ketzir Cha, and Lona Sofas Tavua Senu. Okay. So, the point here is that we've seen the source review number one, the Sifra, just says Derech Habotz and Derech HaKotzrim. On the other hand, we have the implication of Moed Katan that all harvesting is prohibited. So that's what leads some to suggest that, in fact, harvesting that is for the sake of working the land is indeed prohibited. And that's what the Rambam believes. Tell me something. Does that have to be what the Rambam believes? Go back to Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph. What darts can you throw at the idea that Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph in Source Hay is really telling me that harvesting just for the sake of working the land is prohibited? What are the weaknesses in that read of the Rambam? Does that have to be what the Rambam is saying? So, from my perspective, it certainly doesn't need to be what the Rambam is saying. Meaning, the Rambam wrote, don't do kederech hakotzrin, such as harvesting the entire field and setting up a pile and all that, or doing it for avodas haaretz, and I don't know then what it means, but he's subsuming that in some way under derech hakotzrin. It's not a separate point, as seen by the fact that he goes on after those words to say, Ela kotzer ma'ad ma'ad v'choved v'ochel, which is a cure for derech hakotzrim. You follow? It's a very odd thing that he's done. If he has diverted in the middle to talk about something completely different and then gone back to talk about the remedy for the first problem. That's one problem. Number two, if you really believe that harvesting Kederach HaKotzrim and Avodas Karka are separate problems, then why did you just tell me, so just do it little by little? How is little by little going to solve the Avodas HaKarka problem? You're still working the land, so you did it in small increments. Unless we go back to suggest something along the Netanel and divide up between large and small fields or something. I don't understand how the Rambam is solving the problem of working the land by telling you do it in small pieces, in small units. Rav Sammy, what were you going to say?
I don't think it's really solving the second issue. I'm just trying to understand. It doesn't seem to me to be two completely different things. Rather, it seems to be one act with two different motivations.
Yes.
Right, essentially. So I guess I had 2 points on that. One is, why would we assume we need a different law for that? It's only in Shabbos where we necessarily differentiate between motivations, as far as I know, because I'm left with my Shabbos. But if you're doing it for a different reason, why should that mean it's not part of Kotzer? My second question is...
Okay, let me just deal with the first question first.
Yeah.
Did you hear the first question? Okay, it's really a question on Derech Emunah. So the answer I would give is that since the Rambam believes that you can solve the first problem by making it mechanically different, little by little. And I don't think he can say that you, although we'll see an idea in Rosh Shlomo Zalman. But in general, it's hard to say that that solves the second problem. That means that the acts are mechanically different. You think so? Why? Like what? Netanel is suggesting, for those who are online, that maybe there's a substantive effect that's actually different when you harvest all at once as opposed to when you harvest little by little. I don't know of one, but hey, why not? I haven't seen anyone who made that suggestion. That I'll say. For Sammy, what was number two?
I guess, what could you answer that for whatever, in fact, basically built on one, that the Rambam doesn't see two different things. One thing, it's kotzer, but the drasha, the sifri, that it's only aser kederach habotrim applies to both in terms of avodas haaretz and in terms of harvesting fruit from the tree. Meaning kederach habotrim just means the way people that do kotzer do it. It means the normal way, and for the Rambam, doing it the normal way means doing a lot at a time.
But what do you do about his other thing, his statement about avodas haaretz?
Apparently it's not normal to just do a little bit of that at a time.
So you're making the argument that I was suggesting, that maybe the way to read it is that it's all part of Derech HaBotzrim, or Derech HaKotzrim.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe. I mean, there are so many problems with this Rambam and with this idea. Take a look at the Chazon Ish that I brought you in. Where is it? Source Tes Vav. He has three objections. Quote, he's commenting on the Gemara and Moed Katan with the Avos and the Toldos. And he says, "L'chora mashma diktzira asura mishum avodas haaretz ubitzira tolda." It sounds like the problem with kotzer is working the land. View number two, in other words. Aval kasha, but he says, "I got problems." First of all, diktzira le'inyan Shabbos hudavka bitzarech le'etzim. To be liable on Shabbos for harvesting, it has to be where you want what you harvested. Right? You need what you harvested. Mashma shbiach besadeh ve'ilan, who told us noteya. If you improve the field when you harvest, that's called planting. Right? You're improving the growth of the plants. Veino b'chlal kotzer is not called kotzer. Veino nizker b'gemara b'shem kotzer ala b'shem nikush v'kisuach. So much so that we don't even call it kotzer. If a person takes off branches for the sake of improving a tree, we call it zomer. If a person pulls up grasses for the sake of improving the land, we call it nikush. Right? We don't call it kotzer. That's Chazon Ish's objection number one, is that this isn't even called kotzer. Objection number two, he says, is, what does that even look like? What does that mean, harvesting things in order to improve the land, in order to improve, what does that even mean? Now, I mean, we're going to come up with cases and things that people do, like the cases I've already given. Right? Removing the fruits, you don't want the tree to have its energy sapped. Removing the growth on the ground so that you have room to plant. Nonetheless, that's his second objection. And his third problem is, where is this in Chazal anywhere? It's starting with the Rambam. The Rambam is the first one to give us an explicit statement. It's implied in Moed Katan, but he says, "Vod lo matzino b'chazal lafarish lo siktzor v'lo siktzor la kederach hakotzur omen amshumer." He says everybody talks about lo siktzor and lo siktzor as don't do it the way harvesters do it. Don't do it from the guarded stuff. Like no one even talks about this until you find it in the Rambam. So the Chazon Ish says, I got all sorts of issues with it. Rav Shlomo Zalman really goes to town on it and says, cannot be, cannot be. And he's got objections all over the place. First of all, he objects to the idea proper. As the Chazon Ish did, if you take a look in Source Tezayin, he says, Nira lafinius daidi delo mistaber klal achade shita zu bedas harambam. He says, this doesn't make any sense to say this is what the Rambam believed. Mishum dechutz mized lo matzinan klal b'shum makom makor lazeh. He says, aside from the fact that we have no source for this whatsoever, right? The first objection that he brings is a Chazon Ish objection. I'm going to pause before his second objection, because that's really an objection to the Rambam coming next. Before we get to that, flip to Source Yud Zayin, where he brings you another objection to the idea itself. He says, Od nira lefini yizdaki lehair. Dim nomer sheyesh min katzir shehu la'avodas ha'aretz. He says, if there is such a thing as kotzer for the sake of working the land, then tell me something. We spent a lot of time, not we, I didn't, you did. They spent a lot of time learning about the 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Right? That whole beginning of the Yerushalmi. Right? He says, in came b'shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah shenag bizman abayis iser avodas ha'aretz mishum tosefes shviyis. Right? The fact that when you have Shemitah de'oraisa, you have this prohibition of 30 days before Shemitah, not allowed to work the land. Nobody mentioned anything about harvesting then being Aser. If this was Aser, it should have said so. So his first set of objections is the idea itself doesn't have a source. And then his second set of objections to the idea are the Rambam. Go back to Source Tetzayin, where I told you already that in the first half of Source Tetzayin, he says, why don't Chazal say anything? He says, Kashanami, matam lo zachar klal Rambam, the Perish HaMishnayos, the Sefer HaMitzvos, elas asugarishan b'lo asheni. If you read the Perish HaMishnayos, if you read the Sefer HaMitzvos, he doesn't mention anything about harvesting for the sake of working the land being Asur. That's not there. So why assume that the Rambam actually believes this? That's point number one about reading this into the Rambam. Point number two about reading this into the Rambam is, I don't think it's what he meant in Dalet Aleph, and he picks up on some wording, which I was thinking somebody might pick up on, but nobody said anything about it, but that's okay, because Rav Shlomo Zalman says something about it. He says, go back to Dalet Aleph again, right? Which we saw in Source Hay. The Rambam wrote in the last line there, Osha kitzer la'avodas ha'aretz kemosha be'arnu. As we've explained. He says, I've been reading the Rambam really carefully. He never explained this, as I've already explained. The Rambam doesn't do that. Take a look at Source Yuchai. It says, V'abdu matzinu la ha-Rambam zal shekasav. Even though the Rambam does say, the part that we've quoted, V'mkita k'der ha-kotzer in loke k'kon shekita kol asad v'hemed k'vi v'dash v'baka or shekita l'avadas ha-aretz k'mo she-be'arnu ha-kovet k'otzer ma'at ma'at chol v'ochel v'kochazina de'ika de'daiki ma'ach. People take that to mean there's another type of harvesting that's usher. It's working the land. It can't be. He says, how could the Rambam say this and say, as I explained? It doesn't make any sense. The Rambam can't be saying that there is a separate thing going on. He's not willing to accept that idea of Shlomo Zalman. He does not like that idea one bit. And he says, the question that I ask you, what's this ma'at ma'at thing? Take a look at Source Yud Tes. I'm bringing you these little bites of Shlomo Zalman, but really go read the Madani Eretz, because he's lucid. They're eminently readable. Not so cut and pasteable, unfortunately. I did a lot of correcting on that one. But anyway, he says in Source Yates, Va'od, dim nomar sheyesh min ketzira ubetzira sheisuro machmas avodas ha'aretz v'ha ilan. He says, if you're going to tell me that there in fact is a prohibition against harvesting that works the land, and harvesting from trees in a way that improves the trees, mistaber she'oso asug dome vadei le'isur harisho zvio zmira. So presumably it's just like the prohibition against plowing, and against planting, and against pruning. She'en shum chiluk bin zareya ma'at le'zareya harbei. We don't make any distinction between doing a little or doing a lot. V'kevin she'kein ech kasav harambam elakotzer ma'at ma'at v'chovei ve'ochel. So how is it that the Rambam says do little by little? He says, that's not going to do anything. He says, that can't be what the Rambam means. And then you have his third set of objections to the Rambam, to reading the Rambam this way. He says, it contradicts other halachic statements of the Rambam. Number one, he says, the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph, in Shemitah V'Yovel. Take a look at source Chaf. The Rambam writes the following. Ein kotzitzin besulas shikma b'shviyas kederach shekotzitzin b'shar hashanim ibnei shekotzitzasa avodas ilan. There is a type of a tree which does not produce fruit. I'm always tempted to translate shikma as sycamore, but I think I looked into it years ago and it's not. In any case, it's a type of a tree which they cut back in order to get the wood. And then it grows more wood. So the Rambam says, you're not allowed to cut it back in Shemitah as you would in other years, because that works the tree. Because that will cause it to grow more. Vim tzarech le'etzeha, so what do I do if I need the wood? So do it in an unusual way. That's the Rambam's statement. You're allowed to cut branches from the tree if it's not to improve the tree, but rather it's for the sake of their use. And it's not a problem of zomer if it's I'm able to get away with doing this. And the Rambam goes on to say it's only okay if I do it in a way that's rabbinically prohibited. Then my intention will help. The fact that I should have brought you Halacha Chaf Beis also. That would have helped with this. All right. I'm only allowed to do this because, number one, it's only a rabbinically prohibited act. And number two, my intention is for the mutter thing. The use of it, not the improvement of it. Meaning, intent won't help if I'm dealing with a biblically prohibited act of zomer. So, Rosh Shlomo Zalman asks in Source Chaf Aleph, V'hainu mishum de'kevin de'havi avoda de'oraisa lo shari ala yedei shinui. If it's de'oraisa, you actually do it in an unusual way, like the Rambam brought in Halacha Chaf Aleph. Umeata im nomar sheyesh iser Torah shall katsir la avodas haaretz. If so, then if I am harvesting to work the land, you're telling me that's biblically prohibited. Im kein mai mahani mashemachavim la'achila v'lo la'avoda. So why is it okay? Go back to Sammy's point that it's the same act, two different intentions, right? How is it going to help that I'm harvest? You tell me it's okay to harvest the land if you want the fruit. Just don't do a k'derech ha-kotzrim, that's all. But it's okay to harvest if you want the fruit. It's not okay to harvest in order to work the land. He says if it's a biblically prohibited act, kavana doesn't matter, according to the Rambam. Your intent to use the fruit doesn't matter. You could argue with this one, but I'm not going to, because I want to make sure before 11:30 to finish the challenges, at least, to the Rambam, even though we're not going to get his answers. His other objection is what I brought here in Source Chaf Beis. He says, when you look at the Rambam's language, there's no isser presented at all against harvesting year six produce during Shemitah. I'm allowed. If I have produce that grows during year six, I'm allowed to harvest it in year seven. Not only that, if I have produce that grows in year seven, but it doesn't have Kedushas Shviyas, there are certain kinds of growth that don't have the sanctity of Shemitah, there's no isser against harvesting those. So he says, I don't understand. That makes sense if the isser is about Kedusha of the Peros. Then the exemption makes sense. But not if it's about working the land. Take a look at Source Chaf Beis. He says, yeah. Imkim b'shloshim yom lefnei Rosh Hashanah shenag bizman habayis isser avodas haaretz mishum tosef ha-shviyis. Oh, you know what? No, that's the wrong quote. Yeah, that's the wrong quote. That's not what I wanted. Oops. Okay. But look in Gimel Vav in the Madana Eretz and you will find that. But yeah, that's not the quote that I wanted. Okay. That happens too. But that's another objection of Rav Shlomo Zalman. And one other note, he says, you know, the Smag did a really funny thing with this Rambam. If you take a look at Source Chaf Gimel, the Sefer HaMitzvos Gadol, the Smag, gives you the Rambam's language. Anything that the land produces, kol shetotzi aretz b'shana shviyas, bein mizerat shabi tivua shenachu ba mikodem shviyas, bein mena ikarin shenikzu mikodem, v'chazu v'asu, shneim nekron svichin, right? Those are called svichin, you're allowed to eat it biblically, afilu sadashni taiva b'shviyas, you're allowed to, right? The umash amra torah sviyah katir chalos tiksor shlo yiktzor kederach hakotzun shebachol shana, don't do it the way that harvesters normally do it. And if you do, that's malkos. Kagon shakita kol asad vehemid kri v'dash v'bakar ela kotzer ma'at v'choved v'ochel. You see that? What did he omit from the Rambam? Avodas karka. Thank you, Netanel. He skipped the line. The Sefer HaMitzvos just the Smag just pretended it's not there in the Rambam. That was easy. I could give you back 35 minutes of your life. It's not in the Rambam. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman marshals all of this. He has an additional objection, but he then rejects it. So I didn't bring it back to you at a Nachal Eitan. But the point is that Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, I can't accept that this view number two. So to make sure that we're clear on what we're saying here, I'm not going back over the mechanical seeding part that we did its own review on. But view number one is harvesting is prohibited if it's done normally, as expressed in that medrash on the fact that the Torah says don't harvest, but it does say you're able to eat. How are you eating if you're not harvesting? You're allowed to harvest. Don't harvest what's been guarded, and don't harvest in the way that people normally harvest. That's it. That's view number one. But there's this view number two, which says, yeah, but look at the language in the Rambam. He mentions avodas haaretz. And in trees, he mentions avodas ha'ilan. Harvesting, that improves the land, improves the tree. So Shlomo Zalman says, I wouldn't get involved in stuff like this, except that I need to. Because there's a very serious nafkamina. What are we allowed to do in terms of the heter mechira? What will that actually license us to do? So everyone likes view number one. View number two, though, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, I can't accept that. It is sort of embedded in Moed Katan, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman says it just can't be. First of all, the Chazon Ish says, come on, we've never heard of such a thing. It doesn't make sense for Shabbos. It doesn't make sense for Shemitah. No one talks about this. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, first of all, again, no basis for this. And number two, he says the Rambam himself didn't talk about Imperishim Mishnayos or Sefer HaMitzvos. It can't be what he means here, because ma'at ma'at wouldn't work, and kamosha bi'anu doesn't make any sense. And he says it doesn't fit with the Rambam's other statements. The Rambam never mentioned anything about this during the 30 days before Shemitah. The Rambam thinks that kavana doesn't work. Not the 30 days, that was a separate point. That's about not having a source for it. But he says the Rambam doesn't believe that changing your intent works if your act is biblically prohibited, so you shouldn't be allowed to harvest for the sake of eating. And he says the Rambam should have a prohibition against harvesting year six produce during Shemitah. He should have a prohibition against harvesting Shemitah growth that lacks Kedusha Shviyas. He doesn't do it. Now, the Chazon Ish says, yeah, you know, I got problems with this, and yet that's actually the halacha. Take a look at Source Chaf Dalet. We'll conclude with this. He says, unfortunately, despite the problems that I have, that is what the Rambam says. And therefore he accepts it. Malkos. And he adds that that's the implication of Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to mention this Tosfos to you, but you're going to actually have to see it yourself, because I want to start the shiur with it next time. But it's Source Chav Hei and Source Chav Vav is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and the Tosfos. And based on what Tosfos writes at the end there, the part that I bolded, he says also, it sounds like Avodas Haaretz is a problem. So what I want to do next time with this is, number one, Rav Yitzchak Zev Winograd wrote in favor of view number two. And Rav Shlomo Zalman brought his position word for word in the end of Simon Beis in Ma'adani Eretz. He brings the whole thing from Rav Winograd, even though he doesn't agree with him. And so I want to talk about Rav Winograd's argument to explain what the Rambam is doing. He tries to provide a basis for the Rambam supporting view number two. Rav Shlomo Zalman is going to reject Rav Vinograd's approach. We're going to see his rejection. And then we'll see Rav Shlomo Zalman offers three different ways to read this Rambam, all of which will avoid saying view number two. And then we'll see another application of it, a shaila that was asked regarding arla. If I have Shemitah trees and people are coming into my yard to take the fruit and there's arla fruit on the trees, am I allowed to remove the fruit to prevent people from accidentally eating arla? Or does that count as avodas ha'ilan because I'm harvesting, it's not for the sake of eating? So that'll be a discussion as well as part of this, God willing, next week, and then we'll get into the plowing discussion, God willing. Okay? Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.